We're going to recap last week's sermon in a little bit different way this morning. But I need your help to do that. So I am going to ask all of you who were here last week and heard my sermon, so that will excuse those who are in the fellowship hall for the luncheon. If you were here last week and heard my sermon, would you please stand? Okay. So you were here last week, you heard the sermon. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, to help me with the recap. If you came to church this morning, would you please remain standing? If you came to church this morning, would you please remain standing? If you didn't come to church, you may sit down. Okay? Everyone may sit down. Some of you were here, Steve. You were here last week. Why did I ask those to remain standing if they came to church?
Because you made a point last week that wherever we go, we are the church. Okay.
And actually, the church, we don't come to church. The church comes here. Right? Remember that? All right. Just want to clarify that as we go through this sermon series on authentic community. We discovered as we looked at the sermon last week that the dictionary defines church as, first of all, it's a building that people come to. Secondly, it's a denomination or denominations, an organization. And thirdly, we discovered that it's a system of beliefs that that organization may hold. But I want to remind you, you are the church. We've titled this series Authentic Community, and just to make sure you know what we mean by authentic community, I want to quote a statement by a gentleman named Jim Van Epperen, I'm not sure I pronounced that correctly, in a study guide called Authentic Community. He says, authentic community is where the relationship between you, God, and others may what? May what? So that you and others can grow in Christ spiritually and emotionally. This is the function of community. God has provided the church as the place for this to happen by His Spirit. If we are going to flourish emotionally and spiritually as Christians, we must be part of the church. God doesn't have lone rangers in the church. We are not here as the independent man or woman to do that which God tells us to do. We are here to learn from each other, grow with each other, fellowship with each other, and acknowledge that God is at work in you just as He is at work in me, even though He may work differently in you than in me at times. Do you catch the point? Authentic community is where the relationship between you, God, and others may flourish so that you may grow in Christ. As I was preparing for today, I looked up a certain kind of passage or certain phrase in the Bible. It's called the one another phrases. You may wonder about the sermon title today, 86 times and counting. Let's look at one of those passages, a key passage. It was our scripture reading this morning. Notice I put that phrase, love one another, in yellow. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, and anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to, what? Love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we have love for one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. You could really read that another way at the very end. If we love one another, God abides in us and his character is perfected in us. I can't tell you how many times throughout the years people have told to me this, Pastor Gary, we need to talk about something other than love because we're living in the last days and we just need to talk about those important things. If God's character is love and his love is being perfected in us, then what is it that we will exhibit towards others? What is it?
His love.
His love. As I looked up these passages on one another, as I said, I had found 86 times originally it was mentioned, but as I looked more deeply, I discovered 112 scriptural references. Now, some of them were negative, and we'll look at one of those right now. Galatians 5, 25 to 26, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We can do one another in a negative way. And unfortunately, the church has been known for that sometimes. But what's interesting, I only found 15 of those verses that talked about the negative. Of the remaining 100, they were all positives, such as this one. Romans 12, verses 4 to 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Did you anybody notice the oxymoron in the last phrase? Individually belonging to each other. Individually, but together. That's really what Paul said here. We're part of one body, and we are individually, we come to Christ, but we are together. So what does it mean to love one another? What are these one another verses about? And they're about different things. And at the end of the service, there's a paper you can pick up with all 112 scripture references if you'd like to. Today we're going to focus on two things that we're called to interact with one another on. And I want you to notice the first one. We are to accept one another. Accept one another. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, in some other translations, it says receive one another. It can be translated that way, but the better translation is accept one another. What does it mean to accept one another? Well, maybe I'll start out with telling you one of the sad moments in the history of my history with this church. It was about the third or fourth Sabbath when I was here. You are not going to recognize this person I'm going to talk about. A number of people have come and gone. They are not currently attending. Don't try to figure out who it was. That's not important. What is important is not who, but what. I was in my office, had come early. It was pretty close to time for Sabbath school to start, or it should have started already. And I left something in my car. I went out towards my car to get it, and at that time, a couple was coming towards me, and at that time, a car sped into the parking lot. I chose that word intentionally. It sped into the parking lot. Music was blaring. It was a young person. They got out of the car in their denim jeans. They had tattoos on their arms. I am not making any of this story up, okay? It is not a compendium of stories. It actually happened. Tattoos were on their arms. And as they started walking towards the church, one of the people in this couple said to me very loudly, "I can't believe they're here." Or he's here. Can't believe he's here. The young man heard it. He quickly turned and walked back towards his car. I wanted to go after him, but he was so quick, he put that car in reverse, turned it on, put it in reverse, and laid rubber going out. And the person who had said that got a smug look on their face as if to say, him peeling out vindicated what I just did. He doesn't belong here. I was embarrassed. I tried to find out who it was, and nobody knew him, at least at first. Later, I found out it was a young man who decided he was going to try church one more time. He never came back. Accept one another. Now, that can be very difficult to do. Because does accepting one another mean that you have to go along with one another? Do you follow me? Does accepting one another mean I have to approve of what somebody does if it goes against what I believe? Does accepting one another mean I let anything and everything happen? No, it simply means to accept one another. Did you notice the qualifying phrase? As Christ, what? Accepted you. How many here had their act together when Jesus accepted them? How many here knew everything they should know about what it means to be a Christian when Jesus accepted you? I don't see a single hand, and my hand's down too. Acceptance means to recognize who a person is as they are and still do your best to relate to them. It means to still invite them and welcome them in. It means to welcome them with open arms. And that is not always easy to do. And we can only do it if we are connected to God ourselves. I would like to suggest to you that accepting one another means we allow people the opportunity to grow in Christ. And they may grow in Christ faster than we do, they may grow in Christ slower than we are, but we need to allow them to grow in Christ. And they might need to grow in Christ in one area while we need to grow in Christ in another area. The thing I hear from visitors who attend our church most often is that we are a friendly church. I'm proud of that. I like that. I hope that continues. I'd like it to go a little bit beyond that, though. I wouldn't mind being known that we are an accepting church. Would you like to be known as an accepting church?
I guess not. No.
If we can't accept others, are they ever going to come back? Doesn't stop there. And I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to begin by asking a couple questions before I move on. The first question I want to ask is this. And I don't want a loud answer. I'm going to give you a couple moments to think about it. When and how does our church need to change in order to accept others as Christ accepted us? When and in what ways does our church, I'm not saying we're not doing it, I'm saying we need to improve, right? When and how does our church need to change to accept others as Christ accepted us? And if you'd be so kind as to email me your thoughts, I'd like to hear them because I'm going to take them to our board. You will have input. And if you don't want to give your name when you write it down, you can write an anonymous email. You can write an anonymous note and mail it to the church anonymously. I would just love to hear your comments. There's another question. Even though I just said you are the church, I want to make sure we do this individually. When and in what ways do I need to change to accept others as Christ accepted me? What can you do to accept others as Christ accepted you? The second way the one another texts are applied, and it's applied probably this way more than any other, is we are told to love one another. Perhaps the greatest example of Jesus' love, other than the cross itself, was when he washed his disciples' feet. Jesus, knowing that he'd come from God and was going back to God, stood up after the supper, took a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. He served them. Notice what he said to them that night in John chapter 13 before they left that upper room. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have the truth that will set men free. Somebody, thank you for the loud no. By this you will know that you are my disciples if you have the right time frame for the end time events. By this you will know, they will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. It's really not surprising that love is the main one that is referred to in the one another text. But what kind of love is it? Obviously, it's God's kind of love. It's unconditional love. We love people unconditionally. It's God's kind of love, but we love without favoritism, depending on their culture or their pocketbook or where they came from or how old they are, how young they are. Obviously, it's loving them without quitting on them. And if you really want to know what it means to love one another, I suggest maybe you go back this afternoon and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Romans chapters 12 to 15, Colossians chapter 3. The kind of love that is called for is a love that you and I cannot just copy. It's a love that you and I cannot work hard at to bring about. It's a love that goes beyond human effort. It's a love that can only come about because of the relationship you have with God and through the power of the Spirit. Not too long after I came to this church, I did a sermon on God is love. Some of you may remember it. We read 1 Corinthians 13. And then I asked you to read 1 Corinthians 13, and then instead of saying love is patient, love is kind, I asked you to put your own name in there. So it would read, if I may use my friend Lucas as an example, it would read, Lucas is patient, Lucas is kind, Lucas is halfway through, if that far, people gave up. Anybody remember that? I talked to some people later. Why'd you quit? Because I just know it's not true of me. No, it's not. It's not true of us. But it's true of God. It's His kind of love, and He can give us that love as we need to have it to give to others. Love is the gospel in action. And it will come in a variety of ways. It will not be a set formula that this is the way you show love. It will come as the instance and as the circumstance calls for it. You're probably going to not be surprised at what I'm going to do next. When and how or what way does our church need to change so that we can love one another as Christ loved us? When and what way does our church need to change so that we can love others as Christ loved us? And again, when and in what ways or how do I need to change to love others as Christ loved me? part of the things that we struggle with, and pastoral staff's been wrestling with this, is it's so different in the church these days. And please, don't prejudge what I'm going to say. Way back when I started in ministry, people came to church 3 out of 4 Sabbaths a month, at least. They were there. They heard every message. They heard a series. When I got started, there was evangelistic series that was held in every church. There was Pathfinder Club. People came to the church socials. And later, as times moved on, and as people have gotten more and more busy and caught up in just trying to make ends meet, and as we live in a society where the freeway gets jammed, to try and do anything other than come to church has become harder and harder. And then after church, we seem to, because we don't see our friends very often, we kind of gravitate towards those. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just saying this is the way things is, right? We gravitate towards those that we already know and love and that we kind of want to check in on. And that's a good thing. But how much do we really reach out to find out those around us who need to be shown love and need to feel it, see it? What can we do as a church to show that we love one another and come together more regularly, that we might know, we hardly know each other many times? What will it take? You see, the reason this is so important is that only when we accept one another and only when we love one another will we encourage people to know that they belong here. There is a book by Richard Rice. It's called Believing, Behaving, and Belonging. And in that book, he tries to show that while many churches are based on getting people to believe the right message or to behave the right way, it is belonging that wins people most effectively. And if people don't know that they're accepted and they don't know that they're loved, they're not going to know that they what? Belong. I just want to read a quote from that book. As the New Testament describes matters, then, the church is not incidental to the experience of salvation. The church is essential. And it is not only essential, it is central to the experience of salvation. Christ's saving work culminates in the establishment of a community that bears his name and embodies his love. Consequently, no one can be a Christian, not in the full and fundamental sense, and not be part of the church. Christianity is not just a matter of believing and behaving, it is a matter of belonging to, and belonging is the most important element of all. Now, if you think that it should be doctrine, and doctrine's important, if you think it should be doctrine, remember in the Old Testament, God said, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may indoctrinate them." Didn't say that. What was it he said? "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may" what? "Dwell among them." How often in the Old Testament does he say, "They are my people and I am their God"? When Jesus came, he came to reveal the character of the Father so that they would know they belong to God and that they are his sons and daughters too. And in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, at the very beginning, not once, not twice, but 4 times it says in one way or another that, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell with them, and he will be their God, and they will be his people." I don't know about you, that sounds an awful lot like belonging language to me. If we're going to belong in heaven, we need to know that we belong to him here on earth. And we need to know we belong to each other. It means encouraging one another. We'll talk about that later. It means supporting one another. We'll talk about that later. It means seeing the best in one another. But it begins with accepting and loving and being together so that we can do that. There is a hymn in the hymnal I have never heard before. We're not going to sing it. Just want you to know that. I want you to turn to hymn number 585 in the hymnal. I want this to be our response to my message this morning. I'm going to read the first, it's a short hymn. I'm going to read the first three verses. And you are going to join me as a response on the last one. Hymn number 585. It's not on the screen. It won't be on the screen. Number 585. When Christ was lifted from the earth, his arms stretched out above. Through every culture, every birth, to draw on an answering love. Still east and west his love extends, and always near or far. He calls and claims us as his friends and loves us as we are. Where generation, class, or race divides us to our shame, he sees not labels but a face, a person, and a name. Join me. Thus freely loved, though fully known, may I in Christ be free to welcome and accept his own as Christ accepted me. May the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, church, as you are the church this week. Amen.